Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Chorus praise and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
wake
place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Yeah, welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's here in Danger Studios on Wednesday. It's a bonus show on hump day because we usually have our comics from Wise Guys Comedy Show. To my left, if you're watching us on Facebook Live, to your left as well, I'm thinking, Joe Fernandez.
How's it going, buddy?
Who is be featuring tonight, and he's in the studios. He's here on time. Steve Marshall, who's going to be headlining Wise Guys Comedy Show tonight. And if you're listening to us on the podcast, had headlined Tavolino's last night. but if you're watching us on Facebook Live, or obviously if you're hearing us on Bubba Army Radio, then he performed this week. These guys performed this week. Mm. So, you know, who knows? But you're the listener. You can figure that out. So those guys are doing a show here. It's going to be. I'm looking forward to it. It's always a packed house. Steve is a Tavolino's favorite, and so it always packs the room. So you're going to have a nice. It's not going to be one of those nights where you get there's like four people.
I picked the right week to be here. Then
that's it. Nothing more. Like I have done a couple shows. Like I won't mention the venue, but it was in Tallahassee, and I went there. There was like nine people there.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know.
That's usually when people that know me come to see me. They're like, we're coming out tonight. Yeah. And they're half the crowd.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is great. So yeah. I'm glad I have some friends coming tonight. I'm glad it's like a sold out show for Steve Marshall.
Yeah.
With like a nice energetic crowd.
Yeah. And I'm happy too because, you know, I'm hosting usually whenever I'm in town. So a lot of times you get people that are back. You're like, oh, I can't do my jokes. I got to, you know, which it's a nice challenge. It's a nice thing to have to do. You know, I ended up, you know, I'm writing more now because of it.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, I got my new ugliest cheerleader bit.
Oh.
It's a funny bit.
I look forward to hearing it.
Yeah. No, I'm going to do it tonight. I usually do it in open mics, but I think I'm going to really try it out. I'm lying. I actually did it when I was in Cocoa Beach.
Yeah.
I didn't do that joke. See, it didn't reach that level. It's not one of those new material. I say, I'm not going to put on a pro show.
Yeah, you know, that's the best time for it to work.
Yeah, I just didn't have the confidence in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, yeah. You have to have confidence in it. But a new joke on a hot night.
Yeah.
That's like when you want to test it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's why I almost did it. I was like, you know what?
If it stinks, you can move on.
Yeah. If it doesn't, yeah, people don't laugh that night, right? Exactly. So, man. But we were talking about, so, and then, by the way, you were at Ethan, who's our co-host here on Tuesday, or Mondays, Ethan Moore.
Yeah.
Had you at the wine bar last night, 33 Wine Bar.
Yeah, great show, man. Packed house, standing room only,
yeah.
Fun audience.
Right.
They're all drunks.
They're all retired drunks.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like when my aunt told me, I didn't know they call it Fort Lickerdale.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I was like, everyone's wasted.
Right.
But like a nice wasted, not like...
They're uppity wasted.
Not like Hoboken bro wasted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where like they want to fight you.
Yeah, everybody was like, you're not so fucking funny. No, but like that area of Fort Lauderdale... It's like right off, there's like really nice condos right on the, like high-rise condos right there on the beach.
Yeah.
Right off Oakland Park. And you know, we did a show there at a nearby place called Fishtails. And it was just basically, it was these old, like 50 to 60, 75, just people that had been retired, that, you know, with the fucking open button shirts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just not giving their tan as shit.
Yeah.
You know, they all look like, you know, they live in front of a sun lamp for the last day.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? They're retired people. They don't have no worries.
Yeah, I heard that was an eclectic area, like a mix of like money and like crime, like is like mixes
yeah.
there. Because that's what I noticed since I've been in Florida. Because, I mean, when you go on the road anywhere, you don't know where the bad neighborhoods are.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Florida, what I've noticed is you could feel like you're in, like, the ritziest town.
Right.
And then you stop at a gas station. Like, the other night, I'm just driving to Lauderdale. I decided I need a gas.
Right.
Let me stop now. And it seemed like a nice area.
Right off the highway.
But this gas station, I felt like I was in a scene from some movie.
Yeah.
Like some gangster movie, like literally like surrounding my car. I'm like,
what do you mean? Like Al Capone gangster?
No, like what's that? Like those,
New Jack City?
Like, not like, yeah, like those L.A. fucking crime movies. Like, what was it? Like Boys in the Hood?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it was just very... Like in New York, I know.
So you look like a nervous white guy.
Totally looked like a nervous white guy.
Yeah, you were like standing there looking around, like trying to act, you know, puffed up and shit.
Yeah, no.
No,
puffed
you looked
up. No, I looked like a total pansy wanting to get in my car and lock it. And they laughed at me because of it. They're like, I was like, and I, you know what? And
you bailed on that. You said, I'm not going to handle this. I'm out of here.
Oh, yeah. No, the one guy laughed at me. Like, you could totally tell I was frightened. And it's like, and I gave it to him. Like, yes, you should be laughing because this. Because I don't know what the hell's about to happen.
You know, I was going to do, before the show, I was talking about, like, I used to do security work and stuff. So I was going to do, like, these little videos. Like, let's say, like, you're, for comics, let's say you're on the road. Like, this is a story. Yeah. Like, I've been on the road. It's like a dark, you got to get gas. And all of a sudden you pull up and you're like, holy shit, you know.
Yeah.
Forget about taking a dump. You know, I got to hold it. And then you're like, so what you do is you have a certain, there's a routine, you know, you got to circle around if it's lit, you know, you got to take a little look around, you take a little drive around, you don't just go pull into a spot and, you know, somebody come fucking kill me. You know, you kind of drive around, see the little hiding spots, bushes and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like kind of, oops, I turn around, to turn around, you turn the car like a 2-point turn, so you show the lights in dark, you know. I've done that before. I'm like, all right, I got to get gas, and then, you know, and I'm like, all right, I'm driving around, I'm looking for somebody. I'm like looking for my dog.
Yeah, it's never good, like, not down here, but I've been out into, like, Cleveland, where it's never a good sign where the gas station has bulletproof glass, and the guy just wants you to, like, rotate the cash around.
Yeah.
And, like, a little door, you're like,
it's not reassuring when he's, like, sitting back there, like, looking at the door and ducking.
Because first you're like, there's no way I'm putting my credit card in this machine, because there's definitely a strip that's going to steal my shit. So this is a cash transaction, but it's like, I was like, I'm putting 20s now. I'm like, am I getting heroin back? Like, this looks like a shady operation for gas.
That's funny. By the way, Steve Marshall, who's supposed to be on the show, is on Facebook Live. Bruce Austin, by the way, good friend, longtime buddy of mine, calls them murder marts.
Murder marts, yes.
Yeah. Like, you don't want to get out. Like, do I really want to risk life and limb to get gas?
Yeah, and it's fine if you're with a buddy on the road, but when you're by yourself, it's a dangerous situation.
Well, you find yourself in that situation, you find the pump that is basically more perpendicular away from the gas station front area.
Yeah.
Like you want to have no excuse. You want to basically have your back towards everything in front of you, in a sense. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, don't back up if there's like trucks parked there. Don't go ahead and pull up next to a truck or a van. Like chicks, we say that to girls. Like if you see a van in a gas station, you know, and it's just sitting there, don't pull up right next to it and get gas.
Yeah.
You know, at least go around and, you know, wait, you know, or, you know, fucking vans.
When I was younger, none of that. I was never aware of any of that shit. I had a lot more balls. Now I'm in my 40s. I'm queer. I'm just like worried about everything.
Are you gay? You said you're queer.
No.
Okay.
But in those situations,
and I was like, I'm very like you're coming out. Like,
I become that in those situations.
Oh yeah, act.
I do.
Out,
like, I become like I'm saying. I used to have balls, and not balls, but just things wouldn't.
Oh, I get you. So you like
mess
you,
with me? Yeah. Now I'm all like,
Yeah. Now you. Yeah, I got you. That's funny. Well, you're at least no one's going to worry about you. You're not sexually harassing anybody. You're not raping anybody.
No, not at least since high school.
No.
I mean,
yeah.
I think high school, I didn't know what to do. So it was just.
Yeah. Like I was never that guy in high school. I would never make the first move.
Yeah.
I'm not a first move guy. So as soon as you ever rape nobody, I can't even make the first move. I had to like get like signs, you know, like somebody bringing in a plane at the airport for a trick to give. Yeah. Like I was that guy. I didn't want to trample on shit. You know what I mean? I didn't want to be like, oh, that, you know.
Well, I never knew it's sexual harassment. You always just assumed like, oh, you're trying to forcefully like hit on somebody. But I remember one time being at this job where they made us go to a seminar.
Right.
And it was literally like, if you tell a dirty sexual joke in the office, that's sexual harassment.
Yeah.
And this is like before I did comedy, but I was like, I've been sexual harassing people every day.
I'm not going to open my emails.
Like, that's what we did at the lunchroom. We would just tell shitty jokes.
Well, I said when this whole Harvey Weinstein broke out, I remember, like, I worked in a bank for a long time, so many years as a financial guy. So, you know, these always women, you know, and you're like, oh, you know, I was a good-looking guy with a suit and everything, and they'd come in like, oh, my husband's being such an asshole. You know, I'm like, oh, really? You know, I was like, I need to go out. I need to do something. I need to do something crazy. I'm sitting there like, why don't you go out with your friend Betty? Go to the LeBaire strip club. It's a men's strip club. Not that I only heard about it. You get nowadays, look, hey, if you're a creepy fuck, you're getting called out. You know, that's the way, listen.
It's weird times, man, because there's such like a fine line, man. It's like sometimes I hear, especially lately, some stories, some girls post where you're like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I think you're trying to include yourself in something that's not really.
I think that's always like, it's like a witch hunt in another sense. You're worried about like everybody is like somebody called out James Woods, the actor, like somebody's been on a parade. And so it's like, and here's the thing, you know, sometimes I have memories of things that, you know, I remember a certain way, like going back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then like I ran into a girl before I was with before my wife.
Yeah.
And that's a disclaimer. And you know, and you know, I said, oh man, I remember we were all night, and she's like, no, we didn't do anything, and I'm like, well, this is different, you know, because I'm the one going, no, I don't remember, you know what I mean? but it was like, and then I was like, well, maybe I had it all wrong. I mean, I have a vivid memory, unless that was just, you know, maybe that was the dream. I fell asleep. Maybe I drank too much, you know. So who knows?
Yeah. Plus, what's acceptable changes even faster than it used to. It's like, you know, obviously, you know, things that happened in our father's day or grandfather's day aren't, but it seems like now it's changing every 6 months, where it used to be like a generational thing.
Right.
I mean, it's weird to say that because obviously the things that have been going on are pretty creepy and there's no way to defend them. You know what I mean?
Like, I have a creepy friend that I knew when we were kids. He used to like to go like peeping Tommen. You know,
yeah, I feel like that has always been creepy, right?
Yeah, well, it should, you know,
that's but never been like
when you're
Saturday night
when you're an adolescent. You know what I mean? You're like, hey, you know, let's go. You know, you're bored. You're a kid. You know.
Well, the movie Porky's, like,
yeah,
that was like the famous scene,
right? Yeah, they're sneaky. they got creative with it, right? So but you know, it's like now it's the funny thing. I'll see this guy every once in a while, and I'm like, I look at his shoes because he's probably out there in somebody's yard. You know, he's got grass and shit all over his shoes, and it, you know what I mean. Because he's just creepy. I think he still does it. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I've noticed something about the creeps I grew up with.
Right.
See if you can make this connection in your life. A lot of the creeps that were creepy with girls,
right,
become photographers.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm now a bikini photographer. They're like these weird ass photographers.
Gosh, yeah, I think you're right. That or they become Boy Scout troop leaders.
Yeah.
You weren't in the Boy Scouts, were you?
For like a week.
Yeah, I didn't ever. Yeah, I was in karate. You know, that was my brother's a girl. Like, I remember when they came to our elementary school or something. You know, they were like, well, we're looking for anybody who wants to sign up to be a scout, you know, whatever. I'm like, you know.
Yeah, they were just, it was a sham.
Why don't you just ask me to play the tuba?
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you just ask me to be the tuba player in the marching band?
My Boy Scout experience, I don't know if you were in there long enough, they make you make those cars out of the wood.
Race.
So I made my own, painted my own.
Right.
And then I get there. These kids have all these aerodynamic cars that their dads made for them. My dad was a carpenter. I could have had an amazing car, too. I'm there with the one with the whittled, crooked car. And I lost, and I'm like, fuck Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Sham.
Yeah. So much for trying to teach me how to be actually good at something.
Yeah.
I the kids, you know, the parents do it. It's like chocolate.
Yeah.
Remember, like, when I was in band or something, soccer, you know, like, you had to, like, sell chocolate. Like, well, you know, you go back to the soccer practice, like, damn, Johnny sold 40 boxes. I'm like, holy shit. You know, I walked around the neighborhood trying to sell door to door the chocolate.
Yeah.
My dad had a car shop. People, one or two people come, you know, it's not like, you know what I mean? And meanwhile, this guy's mother, you know, she works in an office and she brings them and sells like the whole box to like everybody.
Yeah.
And he's getting the junk because they used to get, remember World's Finest Chocolate? They used to give it a good swag. Like if you sold over a certain amount of boxes, you get a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, you get a radio. A skateboard. I remember it was a fucking skateboard one time. Like, I want a skateboard.
Hell yeah.
Somebody help me sell my chocolate.
My father was like, what are you going to learn at the Boy Scouts anyway? My dad had me killing deer and butchering them with him in the shed for like since I was a kid. I'm like, Boy Scouts? Come on. I can actually survive. None of you guys are going to survive.
Exactly.
What, you're not?
Somebody asked me. There was somebody who was talking about hunting the other day.
Yeah.
And like I hunted with a bow, like crossbow. We hunted boar.
Oh, wow. That's some savage shit.
That's a fucking mean.
Because they come after you.
Yeah. That's a real hunt. Like, I wouldn't hunt deer. Like, I went one time with a buddy of mine. I'm like, I'm not going to shoot the deer. And I just watch, you know.
Yeah.
And then you learn, like, there's a lot of deer. You see them dead on the road when you're on the road a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're on the, you know, can you imagine? And that's a scary thing. That's why I don't like traveling at night. Sometimes I say, fuck it, I'm going to get up in the morning because that's my luck. I'm going to save a day or, you know, I'm going to get home early. And then the next thing you know, you have a deer in your front lap, you know, sitting, you know, between you and your airbag.
That's a buddy of mine because he doesn't think hunting's hard. He goes, I don't even hunt no more, but years ago I did. He's like, how hard could it be? Deer get hit all the time by cars. I go, right. So do people.
Yeah.
People get hit every day.
By the way, Steve Marshall's informed us that he's approaching.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know how people's sense of direction is. You know, like Steve lives in the city, New York. So when he says, I'll be there in 20 minutes, I don't think he really has a gauge.
Well, I don't have a gauge in Florida.
You don't know. I mean, it's like me when I'm in New York, when somebody says, like when I was there and I was doing all these shows, I'm like, okay, how long is it going to take me to get from Broadway Comedy Club to Greenwich Village? You know, I don't know. I mean, I could see it on the map. But yeah. I don't know how much walking I'm going to do, how much
so many
trains.
Variables in New York.
I don't know. So, all right. So that was, so Steve will be here. Anyway, so you got a lot of people watching on Facebook Live. So yeah, we're going to eat. We're going to eat. That's it. We're going to eat nice. We're going to eat all kinds of food. Great place tonight. If you're still watching on Facebook Live tonight, Wise Guys Comedy Show 8:15, just $10. I mean, $10. You know what I'm saying? Just $10.
Nice.
Well, you know, the big news last week in comedy with sexual harassment was Louis C.K., which, you know, at least he's getting a little bit of credit in the sense that he fessed up. He didn't, like, drag it out and say, it wasn't me, you know.
Right.
Like this guy in, who's this Republican guy in Kentucky? Where is it?
Moore, is his name?
Yeah, with a gun. He pulled out the gun in the middle of a press conference. I'm all for the First Amendment, you know, the Second Amendment, whatever. It was the Second Amendment, right? Guns? Yeah. Second Amendment.
People shit on Louis C.K. for coming out after the fact. They go, who comes out before the fact? Who?
Yeah, what, I got something I want to tell
everybody.
What
person in history ever put the bad story about them out first?
Right. Yeah.
Like, name me. Like, it's like, he should have, it would have been better if he said it first. It's like, yeah, because everyone does that.
Right. Yeah, you know, when you get caught until the evidence is overwhelming, then you admit it.
Right.
But here's, I mean, he could say, I didn't do it, but I think it seemed like it was eating his conscience. Like, he was doing the shit in his bits. You know, he was kind of like, Cosby was talking about Spanish Fly. This guy was doing it, he was, like, admitting some of this stuff in his own act.
Louis?
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, he talks about, you know, a little bit of it. He let it go in a couple of, but, you know, here's my thing. When I talked about the collapse early in the show, like, things, like, it's almost like, when it came to, like, how would Harvey Weinstein be able to do it? Well, because there's actresses that, for the sake of fame, they'll do whatever.
Yeah.
Just like there are comics that will work for free.
Right.
It's a corruption within the system in the sense that that's why this has gone on so long, and that's why comedy clubs are closing across America. It's because eventually a comedy club will say, you know what, I'll just put a couple people up instead of a feature.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or... You know, and then the next thing you know, two comics doing 10 or 15, 20 minutes each are blowing, you know, and then you got, you know, so it's corruption in the system.
Yeah.
So, you know, in politics, it's been around because we all know they're scumbags.
Well, it was that woman that came out that called Congress out. They're like, there's plenty of you that have paid out $15 million to hush people up or something they were saying.
fuck Congress. They get to legally do insider trading Congress. If I'm in Congress and I know a medical company is going to pass, they're going to get a right to make something or they're going to be able to, boom, I buy the stock. I can buy it ahead of time knowing that information if I'm in Congress.
Yeah.
You know, you and I can't do that. Then, you know, we're sharing a cell with Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
So, you know, fuck Congress. There needs to be term limits with these guys. They're a bunch of loons. You know, they get so much power. Listen, I can say this from my perspective. I came from nothing. My parents had nothing.
Yeah,
I went to college on a soccer scholarship. You know what I mean? I ended up being a financial planner since I was 21 years old. I made a lot of money. I had a lot of money, and I can tell you that the higher you go, the more power, the more money, the bigger and better things get, the deeper and darker the hole is that goes with it.
Right.
I don't care. You know what I mean? I'm not saying you got to be like an evil person, but I'm just saying.
Did it corrupt? Money corrupts.
It corrupts it, it makes you, it puts you in a sense that you're above things. You know what I mean? Like, you, like you think like, oh, well, you know, and everybody has their own level of it. Oh, listen, I can grab this little kid, you know, or, you know, it's ridiculous. You know, these people lose their mind because they get so much power. And I'm not talking about power. Like I was making, like, for example, you know, there's several years I was making $300,000 a year. You know, right. So my power was going to strip club and making it rain. You know what I mean? Like, right. We had our choice. You know, we could do whatever we want. We were the knights. You know, we're driving Porsches and shit. And, that, you know, that's power, you know, in that sense. But, you know, we were talking about guys in L.A., you know, the Hollywood and all these fucking people, you know, politicians, you know, people like that. They can, you know, they have power. They can make somebody get on the ground and eat their own shit. Power.
Yeah, I think that was the main issue, right, with the Louis thing, was that he was the power over, because it was just some regular schmo that asked the girl, hey, you want to see me whack off? Right. And she says no, then it's just a creep.
Right. Now,
but because the guy had the power over these girls, made it, I guess, worse than it.
Now, I don't really pay attention to the story. But did these women say they witnessed it? They actually sit there and watched them?
I know the one story about the two girls that went up to his room, and Aspen said they went up there. They thought he was kidding at first, and then he was doing it. And so that, you know, it's creepy.
And they did leave?
They did it leave.
All right.
One girl said no when he asked. But I think the issue was the power he had. Like, like he was on a show, like the head writer.
Right.
So it's like an odd situation. It's a weird it's such a I don't like the way they try lumping him in with like Harvey Weinstein and the other creeps like Kevin Spacey. Like, could Louis be guilty of being a creep? Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Well, like, that's a thing. Like,
there may have been the part of the story that nobody talks about was Sarah Silverman's sister.
Right.
Put out a thing that she dated Louis for a while, but after they dated, they were still friends, and he did the same thing to her.
Right.
She didn't find it insulting
because they used to have sex at one point.
Right. Well, she said it was creepy. He did ask her.
Right.
And she was like, "Yeah, whatever."
It's kind of like a weird thing. Like,
it is weird. I mean,
is it like a germaphobe thing? Where like, listen, I want to have some sort of erotic situation, but I don't want you to touch me. I don't want to touch you. I don't want to get you pregnant. You know.
I
don't want to even get it on your shoes.
I mean, I don't know because I don't have the need to do that. So I don't know what the desire is.
Yeah, like,
I mean, I had a situation like that, but it was with a girlfriend.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's totally different.
I mean, what guy hasn't been with a girl and she's like on the rag, you know, in that time of month, as they say.
Right.
And they're like, they don't want to do anything. You're like, okay, well, you know, will you at least, you know, will you jerk me off or something? And they're like, no, I'm not in the mood. Like, well, okay, can you at least take your shirt off? Like, what are you gonna, like,
I guess if you ask a girl to jerk you off and she says no, at least you're offering her. Like, do you want to partake in this? I think the weird part is, hey, do you want to sit there and watch me enjoy myself?
Yeah.
Which is creepy. You know, you can't, it's wrong, it's odd.
But if you ask the girl to actually grab your penis, you're being a man. You're not, you're just being a,
I get,
you're
asking
horny.
For participation.
Yeah, you just want somebody to, who doesn't, what guy doesn't want some girl to grab his
but
penis?
But I guess I think the issue is definitely the power, not the, if you're just meeting a waitress one night after the show, or you just run into a girl at a bar, it's still going to be creepy,
right?
But you're not going to get any repercussions from asking.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Let's say I'm a single guy and I'm at a club one night and meet this girl, and you know, she likes me. We're talking. I buy her drinks. You know, we're hanging out. She's laughing, and then she comes back to my hotel room and this and that. I'm like, listen, I don't like to have sex with other women. You know, maybe like I'm like, listen, I'm so fat and chubby. I don't want you to laugh at me. You know, and I come quick and everything. So here's what I want to do. I just want to masturbate in front of you. If you wouldn't mind just talking dirty to me, and that's we won't have to have sex.
I think the average woman,
right,
even if she said yes to that,
yeah,
would regret it when it was over.
You think?
Yeah, because listen, I don't know. I mean, it's just my personal opinion. Like if a girl said it to a guy, like a girl's got a beautiful body,
right.
And it's like, it's just, if a girl proposed that to a guy would not feel, I don't know.
If I'm with a hot chick, she goes, you mind, I don't want to have sex, but you know, you mind if I sit here and masturbate? I go, fuck you, yeah, do it. You mind if I?
Right, I think it's weird the other way for a guy to invite a girl to his room, not want to have sex with her.
Well, that's the
but
problem.
I want you to watch me have
so
sex with myself.
So it could be insulted, like they're insulted? Like, what do you mean? You actually want me to, you don't want to have sex with me, but you want me to watch you have sex with yourself? So, you know.
It's odd.
It is an odd thing.
It's an odd thing.
By the way,
thing.
Speaking of odd, your friend Robin.
Uh-huh.
She's pretty cool. She goes, it's not like your mouth's on the rag. Yeah, that, I used to say that at times. You know, she said, yeah, but, you know.
It's tough to say on the first night meeting somebody.
Oh, yeah.
But, like.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, I know we just met know, everything,
if,
but.
Hey, yeah, so, like. If you're like kicking it with a girl at a bar, I'd be like, hey, with that mouth ain't on a rag.
Those are nice lips you got there, baby.
I don't know if that's going to win her over if she's trying not to have sex with you.
You want me to get you some gum?
Yeah. I don't think I can say that to a girl I'm actually with.
Yeah, it's hard.
Like, hey, your mouth's on not on the rag. I think our relationship's going to be over soon.
And then,
maybe. I don't know.
You know, you're not being very sensitive.
Right.
Like, I mean, she's it's that time of the month. She's got some, you know, hormonal imbalances and stuff.
Nah, it's selfish is what it is. And I was guilty that in younger. As I'm older, it's like I'm not as selfish. But when you're younger, you're like, yeah, like, what about me?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I've done a lot of things. You know, I have, like, women, two women, and, you know, lesbian women, like, gay, bisexual. I had an ex-girlfriend before my wife that was all into that. So, and that got crazy because after experiencing that for a couple of years, regular one-on-one was like, huh, this is, it's like going, it's like being at Disneyland for a few weeks and then having to go to like a church carnival.
Yeah. It's, you know, tough when a girl spoils you.
Yeah. I was spoiled. Exactly.
It takes a few girls to get over that, to get back into normal society.
Yeah, exactly.
The way they do things.
A few other little orgies.
Yeah. I had a girl for a summer one time that was
wild,
like, very exhibit, like just like wherever we were at.
Yeah.
Like, do you want, yes. And then, so, like, it took me a few two girlfriends to wind down from that. Like, I'd ask them if they'd want to, like, in public places. Like, what are you, nuts?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm still on Jillian time.
Oh, did you tell them that? Did you tell them your ex-girlfriend would do that?
I was, yeah.
All right. Trying to, like, influence them?
Because they're looking at me. No, but they're looking at me like,
what's
I'm
wrong
a freak.
With you?
I'm like, listen, you have to understand that there was a girl that, like, I'm.
Oh, that's bad, though. Because now they're
withdrawal.
Thinking. Now, all of a sudden, they're. That's like when a woman says, you know, I'm sorry, but the last guy I was with had a really big dick. Like, wow, that's not nice.
No, I know, but it, like, if I was at that point where I was telling them why, we're already in a weird situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're already having a discussion that I don't want to be a part of.
Yeah, I got it. That's funny, though. I don't know. I don't know. I just think that if I was single again ever, it'd be scary as shit because I got no game, but. I never
want to be single again.
Nowadays, you married now?
I'm married.
Yeah. All right, kids?
Stepkids.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many?
Two.
Yeah, I have a stepdaughter. She's 29 now.
Yeah.
So she's, you know. But being a stepdad's interesting, is it? Because you can't really lay down the discipline.
I have good ones, though.
Yeah.
I never had to.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, the older one was, when I met her, he was already, like, 16.
Right.
So, but the young guy was 5. So the older guy never had to do anything disciplined. Even the young guy, barely.
Yeah.
You know?
No, our daughter was great. Never drugs, never like that. You know, she's a nurse and yoga master and all this shit. So, but, you know, it's just like there's some times where you have to discipline. Like, my wife really wasn't a disciplinarian, only with me. But, you know, when it came, you know, she'd like let things just kind of go. You know, and I was the one like, I'm like a substitute teacher trying to, you know, lay down the law and people are laughing at you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're not my real teacher.
Yeah, I've only stepped in if theirs was getting too heated.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, I try to play referee.
Yeah, hold on a second. Then you find out you're about as useful as a WWF referee.
Then they're both mad at me.
Right. Could you imagine going through life and then you ever meet somebody and say, hey, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a referee for professional wrestling. Yeah. Really? You're one of those guys? Yeah, I'm one of those. You're the guy who says, no, don't do that. You're the guy, the ref saying, don't do that. Or I'm going to count at you. One. Two.
That's the second best job.
Yeah.
First best job is ring announcer.
Yeah.
Best job in America.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
You have to just name the fighters and then sit down.
And you have to have some catchy, like, it's time.
Like that guy, I forget. Somebody told me how much that guy makes. It's ludicrous.
Yeah, like $150,000 or something ridiculous for just an announcement, if not more.
I think it's more than that.
Oh, Buffer, the main guy. Yeah, he probably makes like $5-10 million or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to say, hey, ready to rumble. And his brother's on the UCF, or UFC, I mean.
UFC, yeah, that's what, fucking we're dyslexic. Watching. He goes, it's on.
Yeah, it's time.
It's time, whatever he says, in millions.
To the right, to the fighter. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Joe Fernandez, and Mr. Steve Marshall is at the door, so we're going to take a break. And we come back, we're going to talk about straight from the headlines and stories from around the world, and we're going to make fun of them. That's right. We'll be right back, right after this.
Nice.
This is the Reverend Bob Levy, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. If you're not, You're probably sleeping, you lazy fucks.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them. News from comics. And joining us for this part of the show, Mr. Steve Marshall.
Yellow.
And Joe Fernandez as well.
Yellow. I love when people say that. Yellow.
That's my grandpa who said that. Yeah. Yellow.
Yellow. All right, so we got headlines, news.
Yes. Finally, yes. Everybody on Facebook Live, they've been waiting for you.
Thank you for sticking around, everybody. Thank you.
You know, I hope you didn't take it personally when I said I just don't trust your, because you're in the city. So you're not, it's not like you're.
No, I run late anyway. I'm on colored people time.
I'm going to start telling
you. I'm really
you
a black person. I do run late, there's no doubt. But I always show up. There are so many people, not just in comedy, in your life, they say, I'll see you Sunday. Then they don't even show up. They don't even call. At least I show up. I just show up late.
Right. He's here.
I'm here. Thanks for listening, everybody. They know I'm at Tavolino's.
Right? Here's an expression. When pigs fly, woman kicked off flight after emotional support pig became rowdy. Go figure. Is this too? We had a story this week about a guy who had an emotional squirrel.
Is there really an emotional squirrel?
There's a guy who has a squirrel that's his pet, you know, for his social whatever.
Right. I saw that once in life on the Jersey Shore boardwalk. I thought the acid was just that good.
Yeah.
But it was real.
Yeah, but you know the guy, but the people in the condo in Florida, like he can't have a squirrel, you know. Of course, so a woman brings a pig on a flight. You know,
really,
I brought a pig on a flight once, but that was no pig. The woman was given her marching orders after her havoc-wreaking hog began walking up and down the aisles, even attempt to strap it to an armrest, failed to settle the farmyard animal on the flight. Who the fuck brings a, you know?
How do you get it past security?
What do you call it?
It's an emotional.
Oh, it's an emotional pig.
It's an emotional.
It's like a support. Yeah.
Support pig.
But it's like, is this how unemotional other animals are? That like, are dogs like, I don't want to do it. Cats are like, I don't want to do it. That's how far they have to go down the animal chain to get an emotional pig?
I mean, I had a pet pig when I was a kid, but those things are out of control.
Yeah.
Why are they out of control?
Well, because they're fucking pigs, man. They just run all over the place. They're
like,
shit.
Look at my dog. It's like worse than what he's doing right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. That your dog needs an emotional pig.
Yeah, he might be a little. Look, he's getting all crazy.
He is. Why is that? Hey, come here.
There's so many people. No, don't.
Because he knows
off.
We're live on Facebook. He's
yeah,
showing
he's like,
off.
He's like, yeah, it's a typical one. Like when you're a little kid and neighbor and your friends show up, mm-hmm. other family show up, you start doing shit like running around like a dope. All I know is I'd be really pissed if I was on an airplane and somebody had a pig with her.
I would be if I was an Orthodox Jew.
Yeah, right? Can you imagine a Muslim guy? No, I'm really blowing this up.
Yeah.
Melbourne man stabs friend in the chest over pizza. That's Melbourne, Florida, by the way.
Yeah,
it's part
that.
Of our Florida man
over
show.
Pizza?
Right. Yeah. I mean, listen, I've eaten pizza. I love pizza. Matter of fact, we had pizza last night at Sicilian Oven in Coral Springs. I had the chicken Reggiano pizza, which is basically oven-baked pizza, like wood stove, whatever,
yeah.
with chicken parm, like chicken cutlet on it,
wow.
and regatta, and cheese, like, you know. Oh, I ate the other half for lunch today, but I never stabbed anybody for it.
I was going to say that was a better story than the stabbing. Dougie Almeida gets pizza with chicken and what was that?
It has leftovers for tomorrow.
Regatta cheese and mozzarella, Italian sauce,
right.
but had like chunks of like chicken part. Like
right. also in the news, guy gets stabbed at pizza place.
Yeah. I was
you like everything. You like the smorgasbord on your pizza,
yeah.
right?
I don't
do
like
you
a get, lot of
shit. You're one of those people that gets upset. Like there's a big thing. Like people are getting upset about Hawaiian pizza. Do you know
no,
what
pineapple.
I mean?
Pineapple. I don't like
pineapple
no,
on
my
pizza.
Wife eats pineapple on her pizza.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I think it's the worst.
She loves it. It's
I mean,
not bad.
I could see like Hawaiian. You put ham. And you put, but yeah. Listen, why don't you just get a fucking omelet? You know why? Like, if I'm gonna eat a pizza, I don't want to eat pineapple.
It's yeah, that's
like,
true.
It's not. You know what I mean?
Does
not,
anybody ever get like Hawaiian food and put a pizza on it? Like, get a pineapple yeah. and say, "Oh, that pizza yeah. would be good on that."
Yeah, what pineapple with marinara?
Right. Yeah, I want some pineapple dipped in
pineapple
like,
parmesan
marinara sauce. What? Yeah, pineapple pie. That's a good meal.
No,
we
but I shit on it till my wife had it and I tried it and it wasn't that bad.
No, it isn't that
yeah.
bad. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Also, I'm so sick and tired of people like, especially in New York, where they go. It's elite to have this pizza, elite to have that pizza. I'm from Brooklyn, all right. I think I know good pizza, but also it's pizza.
The
metric—the
metric of difference between pizzas is so small.
Yeah, it's really
especially
not
in New York.
It's bread with cheese. I know people are going to argue. It's not a big deal, folks.
Oh,
you know
come on,
I mean?
Dude. You're talking about pizza, all right? Now,
I mean, dollar slice. You can maybe say sucks.
Hey, there are some great
There's
dollar
some
slices
good ones,
in
but
the city.
You could run into a bad one.
Hold on a second. This news story just coming in. Not a guy getting stabbed. Dougie, what did you eat on pizza?
Yeah, my favorite pizza is sometimes meatball, extra sauce, and red onion.
Oh, I like I like meatballs on anything. I love meatballs.
I like
meatballs. How did you become the food guy? Because can I just mention, I'm going to mention it every time I'm on this show. This guy, Dougie Alameda, is not just a martial artist. He is a great, he has the fastest foot. I was telling my Uber driver who's from Brazil and a Brazilian judo guy. This guy has the, like, here's the thing about fighting guys, all right? Dougie's a tremendous kicker. You know, he broke that kid's leg fighting him. You know what I mean? If you saw that on Facebook. But he's not only a tremendous kicker. Then he's trying to show me throws. He's even a better thrower. All right? Yeah. I think you're a better thrower. What happened to you? You're a star goalie.
Yeah.
You're a fantastic footwork guy, and you're obsessed with eating now. How did this happen?
I don't know if I'm obsessed. I mean,
you are. This guy is, you don't understand who you're sitting with. This guy is.
I met him an hour ago.
But see, that's the greatest thing about the art of Hapkido.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
tell me about
jiu-jitsu.
Hapkido. Yeah.
Is you don't need to be like lean and a six pack and stuff. You just got to be able to have a good grip technique, mm-hmm. understand the angle, understand little joint manipulation moves, and that's it. You know, I don't have to throw a fucking high kick. I don't have to do like a split between chairs to scare the guy away from fighting me. I just got to go up to him and grab him by the shirt and with one hand choke him with his own shirt. And the person will realize, and as they go to grab my hand,
right.
they're going to expose a certain part of their body where I got their elbow and like a chicken. You know.
Right.
It's just so once you get into a certain thing, like you don't, it's all technique. I don't, you know, I don't have to have like stamina. You know what I mean? I'm not, you know what I'm saying? It's
this
like,
guy, I'm not kidding. I'm complimenting this guy, and I've been thrown. I always said if you came and saw me in any throwing class, I'm constantly in the air. That's how much they're throwing me. Like you never let. I never throw anyone. The fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Yeah, I'm swift to my feet, man. I get right in there before they close the pizzeria.
How many slices of pizza can you eat? Seriously.
Oh, dude.
Be honest. How many did you eat the other night?
No, I ate half of a large, regular, like, what, a 13-inch, whatever it is. What's a large pizza?
Who cares? But a large, you ate four slices.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
What do you mean that's unbelievable? Who couldn't eat? You could eat four slices.
Well, I can do four slices.
I could eat four slices if I didn't care what I look like, okay?
Yeah, well, we don't care what we look like.
Obviously. I mean, come on.
No, but you still
That's
look,
the difference.
But here's the thing. You're not a fat guy. You're a big guy.
Listen, there's two types of fat. There's fat, and I can still get laid fat. You understand?
Right.
There's a big difference.
Yeah, you're right. You talk about that on stage. You're the get laid fat. You're the guy. You see, they always go, girls that don't want to sleep with me, which is a large population, call me a skinny Jew, okay? They want to be with guys like Dougie Alameda because you protect them.
I had
and
somebody.
And he's got pizza.
And I know good pizza. And here's I had somebody I know. It's kind of funny. One of my good buddies from another circle of business
right.
came to me and says, oh, I met your friends and this and that. And they're, and you know, the guy calls you a putz. You know, because he's an older guy and he makes fun of people, but his wife said that you're a sexy big man.
That's what you are. Because when women are with Dougie, they feel protected.
Yeah.
When they're with me, they're like, "We better call Dougie." I'm serious. So they like that type of thing. But you're really crazy about the food.
But listen,
can I say this also? The last couple of times I was Lenny.
Right.
Can I say this about if Lenny's listening?
Dude.
Yeah, dude. If Lenny's listening. So I made them, at least Dougie is very polite. He's tremendous manners, okay? I don't know if it's the Portuguese. They're the nicest people. They're
right.
very well-mannered. Serious, all right? You go to Tavolino's, and they give you food at the end. It's at the comedy table. So I'm shaking hands, saying hello to people. The fucking opening acts are eating like they're going to the electric chair.
Yeah.
You know what? I never saw anybody, you know, like they don't, it's like ridiculous.
I'm watching the chicken cutlets and the parm. Like, I'm like, hey, hold on. How many, I got the headliners just to eat.
They brought me extra food, all right? They ate it, and Lenny said to me, oh, I didn't think you wanted it.
Yeah.
And he's my friend. He's my friend. My friends are fucking me on the food. Maybe that's why I'm jealous. I don't get the. Well, I don't know how you can consume so many calories and be so.
Today, all I ate today were those. I had the four slices today for lunch around 12.
All you ate today was four slices for lunch.
Yeah, they're not big old New York style pizza slices.
It's
you're like
four
oven,
slices. Yeah, but you put 20 things on it.
What do you mean twenty things?
You're gonna count. You're gonna say you had chicken cutlets and regatta and everything.
Regatta and some regular.
Can I please quote Otto and George?
Pizza already has sauce and cheese.
No, kidding. I have doubt. Can I quote it when you say? Because everybody says, you know, I always go further. Because may I quote the great Otto and George?
Well, yeah, my dear friend.
I exaggerate to clarify. Yeah. So I exaggerate so that people get that you're putting a lot of. But here's it: can you fuck after you eat a lot of pizza?
No, I don't want it. You know, it's not a comfort. It's no, you can't.
Right.
No, it's just.
Probably.
You asked me how much pizza can I eat because I could. I was so like I hadn't eaten all day yesterday.
Right.
So I just basically got up, had some coffee and this and that, and then, I'm sorry. I had a go wrap, a little chicken go wrap on the way from Wendy's, little grilled thing for lunch. It's like $1.50. It's nothing. Yeah. So when I was so hungry around dinner time, my wife was starving. So I said, "Let's go eat." So she got a vegetarian pizza. She ate three of the slices. Now these aren't, like I said, these aren't big. These are like slices that look like this. You know what I mean? They're not, dude. They're not fucking like fucking Andre the Giant's footprint slice. You know, these are little. So I could have ate the whole. I could have ate that whole pie last night, man. I could have just polished it off, and of course I would have been sitting there in a food coma when I got home. I'd have been like, you know. But so that's all I ate today. I ate those four slices. Now I'm gonna eat tonight some chicken parm.
Right.
Oh, pizza, chicken.
No, he's great. But here's the other. I'm really serious. But he's just a big, strong guy who don't let him grab you. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
The guy's eating like he's going in the electric chair, and he's like, "Let me show you how I do throws." And he's like, "I'm supposed to be the fast one." He's like. He's right in there.
No, when it comes to self defense, people get they think they got to like be away from somebody.
Yeah,
but when you're in like life or death situation,
I run.
Yeah, well, that's a good choice.
That's good.
Yeah, but I don't think I'm going to get far. So, you know, I got bad knees.
When I'm scared, I'm skipping. They leave
for
me alone.
A short, chubby guy. I run like the wind.
Yeah,
especially if I'm scared. Right.
But you're going to tell him close the distance.
Yeah,
close the distance. That was, all
right. And yeah. I'm only 5'9", so you know, that's what you got to do. Most people don't know what to do when you're like right up in that right and tight with them. Right. They're like they try to poke you. They don't know what they're doing. And then that's you're right up against them. You control the situation. You're on the surfboard, baby. You're riding. You're gonna. And then nothing better than when you're in a confrontation when somebody's bigger than you and people are looking at it like what's going on? And then you're looking at them smiling. That you know that like I had a trademark of that. Like I'd get into shit and shit would hit the fan. I'd be sitting there looking at the person smiling. And my friend one time at a brawl in Seattle at a club with a bunch of brokers. I went out. Buddy looks at me. He goes, "Dude, you were smiling the whole time. You're
right.
You know what the fuck? When you smile, you're more loose."
That's right.
You know what I mean? You're loose.
Believe me, in Kung Fu, that a teacher said to me in Xing Yi, it's called Mind Fist Xing Yi, he said, you should have a little smile on your face.
Oh, yeah. Nothing more intimidating when somebody's like grasping, like they're just trying to find their wind, and they look up at you and you're smiling like, you know, it's like Sunday morning pancakes.
How could you be 5'9", and you were a Muay Thai kickboxing heavyweight champion?
Right.
At 5'9". It's just incredible.
I wasn't a heavyweight champion. I was undefeated, but...
All right.
I mean, that mean I didn't.
You keep eating, you're going to be happy. You're going to be 5'9" by 5'9" by 5'9" by 5'9".
I'm a box. So my tranny used to say, can't you get under 200 pounds? Because like 200 pounds was heavyweight. Super heavyweight was 200 plus.
Right.
You know, everybody I fought was 4 inches taller or 50, 60 pounds heavier. So I was like, but I didn't mind. You know what I mean? I mean, trust me, I didn't mind.
Do you have like a psychological approach also, Dougie? I mean, like. What? Like, in other words, did you psychologically train? Like, what is your mindset?
I'm a big visualizing guy. Like, I'll visualize a fight. I'll fight 1,000 rounds with somebody in my mind before I fight them.
Do you hear? He's serious. I know people listen, but they're not really paying attention because, at least with me, nobody listens to me. I've had a radio show for 10 years. I don't even show up. But
I'm that psychotic where I go into, we were talking about safety earlier. If I go into a restaurant and let's say I'm a little nervous about things, especially all these shootings and stuff. Before we even eat the salad, I'll at least have evacuated that room 40 or 50 times with my wife.
No way.
Yeah.
And does she do it too? Because she's great also.
She wants to leave anyway. She wants to get the fuck away from my fat ass.
Do you know who also did this? Frank Lucas. Do you know who Frank Lucas is from American Gangster?
Oh, yeah.
Frank Lucas, the real guy, said he would go to like Newark or something in a hotel room a month before he did a – crime and sit in the room, no TV, nothing, and work the crime backwards, just like you're saying, work it backwards over and over and over. So you mean 1,000, Dougie. You don't mean you went over at 10 or 15. You're not Otto. You're not exaggerating to clarify.
No. If I'm going to fight somebody and I'm getting in the ring, like, you get the first thing was you're going to fight this person. The first thing they do is I send you a photo of somebody. Right,
I don't know what that means.
Well, my fights, they'd say, okay, you're going to fight so-and-so. Most of the time, I think one guy I knew that I fought, but for the most part, nine of them I didn't know who the fuck they were.
Right.
And they send you a photo. This is the guy you're fighting. So you look at that. Okay, yeah, he's 6'2", 6'3", 250 pounds, and you're chiseled up and everything.
Right, they're always chiseled
up.
Yeah,
younger looking and everything.
They're always six-packed.
And so right from the picture, I visualize movement, and I picture, just from the minute I see that picture, I visualize defending and moving and just flowing with the person.
And that's how I am with an audience, by the way. When I walk into a crowd, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I want to say it's clear the same thing. I mean, a lot of club owners know that about me. I'm great at reading an audience.
And by the way, Robin, your friend, said, most women I know, myself included, like guys with dad bods.
That's me.
Right?
Right.
I'm a dad bod.
Yeah, but, you know, so, hey, why not?
Yeah, but, you know, I think that could be a culture. I think that's true, too. But I think that's a cultural thing because, I'm a little older than everybody. And with us, it was more, I guess, even looks change. With us, it was more being a little more, not six-pack, but I came from being thin. And remember, even down here in Florida, we had the Button South. If people remember, it was a great heavy metal club, the Button. So when you see heavy metal guys, they're usually like, seriously, 6'1", 120 pounds, right? You know what I mean? They're dating a girl who's also 6'1", 80 pounds. Yeah. They look like two pipe cleaners when they fuck. You know what I mean? Just electrical wires. So I think culturally now the dad bod. Why do you think that's in, though?
Maybe Robin can tell us. I used to keep myself in good shape until... You know, I met my wife, then I just kind of sloppily went away.
Well, yeah, dude, you know, that's what
But she keeps herself in shape.
That's what
my
wife's
like. Why I just decided.
Because you're allowed to get away with. Go ahead.
Do you ever feel bad? Like my wife does yoga. She looks great and stuff like that. You know, I mean, except for a belly, this belly I'm popping out, everything else is still, you know.
Yeah, you're
there. I'm getting some man titties at this point in my life.
I fluctuate.
Me too, by the way.
Yeah. I let my pants tell me what to do.
I don't like looking at myself when I'm making love. I used to, you know, I used to look down and go, hey, but I don't mind if my wife closes her eyes. I'm like, yeah, please. You know, keep them closed.
That's funny.
I don't like it from this vantage point.
I can't make love. Why not? Close your eyes.
I feel bad for you having to look at
John Duress has that joke about making a video with his wife. They've been married 25 years. You know, he always says on stage, my wife and I have been married 25 years. Yeah, she's not here. She's outside watching the car. I told her I'd bring her waffle fries after. You know what I mean? But he says they made like an erotic video and they looked at it. And he said, like, oh, my God, he says, your tits look great. She goes, those aren't my tits. Those are yours.
Yeah, listen.
I prefer when they close their eyes, don't you? It's like, well, I just said, to have like a psycho stare, like, I just like close their eyes on the. It's like,
no,
it's,
I have that stare. Like, I'm a breast man. I'm a breast man. So, and usually one breast I like better than the other. They're not the same.
You're picking favorites.
And I'm like, I don't even hide it. I'm shameless. I just look at that one tit. And they catch me. You know what I mean? I get caught. I've gotten caught. You're looking at my right tit. Absolutely, it's the better one.
But looking at a tit is normal. But did you ever have, like, I had a girl one time just like dead staring me in the eyes.
That's not good.
I'm like you gotta fucking turn your head or close these motherfuckers.
Yeah, like, it's a voodoo chick.
Like I feel like you're trying to suck my life out.
I can't do necrophilia unless the eyes are closed. There's quarters on them or nickels or whatever.
Some cucumbers painted.
I mean, in the early days of necrophilia, you can do it. But yeah, it's old.
Wait a second. The early. What does that mean, the early days?
When you first start out.
When you first start out, you mean before the body gets really...
Yeah, before you have chops.
Plus, he said paint something on cucumbers. I'm listening to every word. What does that mean?
Paint? I was just ad-libbing.
Right, exactly. Do we have any other headlines?
Yeah, speaking of the sex, a woman gets off after arrest for battering a strange husband who interrupted her pleasure session.
What? I don't get that.
Oh, I heard about that.
Prosecutors have declined to pursue a criminal case against a Florida woman who was arrested for allegedly battering her estranged husband when he interrupted her as she was pleasuring herself. Seems that Flavia Higgs, 42.
Flavia?
Yeah, Flavia.
Sounds like a coffee maker.
Yeah, that or... yeah, like a Cuban coffee maker. The new Flavia.
Hey, get me a new thing for the Flavium.
We got to come back there, but every comedian does this. If somebody said, like, oh, I'm using mucilage, oh, it sounds like, you know what I mean?
42 was arrested in mid-September following a 12:30 altercation in the morning in Port St. Lucie when her estranged husband, they sleep in separate beds, came home and found and heard her moaning. And he thought maybe she's in there with another dude.
In the room, yeah.
So she wouldn't. He knocked. She wouldn't open the door, and he busted the door down, and she was just tinkling at the ivory keys. And I don't know if there was a Bob involved, but who knows? Maybe the guy could have jumped out the window, unless they're on the apartment fifth floor. But and he got so she got pissed, and
yeah, because who moans while they're masturbating?
I do. I love it. I put a
are
candle.
Are you fucking serious? What's wrong
you?
With
moan you? Like when you're with yourself?
I'm not hiding. What, are you hiding? Of course
no,
I'm moaning.
No, it's just I don't know. I'm just doing. I'm like
dropping
TV.
The phone. I'm trying not to drop the phone in the toilet because I'm jerking off on the fucking.
But you're moaning?
Yeah.
It's been a while. I held back. So I was
I play
on the road.
With my balls too.
Yeah, I do use both hands.
Yeah.
I put some fucking tape around the place and.
No,
some
but
candles.
You moan? Yeah, I moan.
If it's just a good session, I'm
not a good performer, I guess.
What he needs to visualize?
I'm alternative. I'm an alternative
masturbator. You need to send yourself a picture. No, you need to do what Dougie said with fighting. Send a picture of your dick to yourself, and you need to visualize 1,000 times.
Yeah.
I thought Robin asked me what I keep saying. I thought Robin was your friend, Robin Fueto.
She is.
Well, yeah.
What did she ask?
I don't know. She says, why do you keep saying my friend? I don't know. Maybe not friends. I don't
I don't.
He meant it in like an Amish way or a Quaker way. Yeah,
like brother.
I mean, she listens to my podcast all the time and comments. So right.
What are you supposed
friends.
To say? My
friend.
Have to do
you Facebook?
Were
friendly?
You're a friend. You're an acquaintance.
Yeah.
What's wrong with people?
I don't know.
Does she spell
hey, Robin,
her name?
Robin, I'm unfriending you.
Hey, how are you? Hey.
Hey, have fun.
Do you spell your name R-O-B-Y-N? Is that Robin?
I think it is, yeah.
Right, exactly.
All right, I guess so.
All right. This is, by the way, this show is live, everybody. Yeah. That was Dougie's beautiful wife.
And yeah, coming in.
She came in to put us in an arm bar.
Yeah, no, she's awesome, too, with that shit. So
no, she's great. You told me that.
With
remember,
Muay Thai?
Let's not repeat that.
Well, she's a black belt in Taekwondo, but she's also, she's got a high red belt in Hapkido, where she'll choke you and she'll.
This
you
guy.
You fight, too?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I'm not at Dougie's level. Yes, no, I fought full contact. Yeah, I'm at least. I'll say this. I'm no coward. I've gotten in the ring.
Yeah,
just a mouthpiece and a cup. Fought full contact. I've never been knocked out. I have lost more fights than I won. But my last fight, I almost had my ribs broken, and that's when I decided I'm really a comedian. All right, but you know what? Let me say this. Anybody that gets, because everybody's a talker. In
or the train.
They're all hitting the bag. You know, Dougie, they're all hitting the bag, but they don't want to get in the ring.
Right.
Because let me tell you something. A bag doesn't move. And it's the same thing with like everybody thinks they could be funny. Right. Everybody could be funny. But the audience doesn't sit there and listen to your little jokes. You know what they do? You suck.
Yeah.
Die, Jew.
What's that? What's that Mike Tyson quote? He said everyone's got a plan
until they get
punched
in the face.
In the face or something.
I
thought it was the coolest quote.
And I will say this. There's like at least four of those fights that went three rounds. That it was brutal. Like, in other words, there was one guy I beat the shit out of so much I couldn't close my hand for 6 months because I hit him so many times with the right hand.
I couldn't
imagine. He was so big. But nothing is more frustrating. Like I fought people that I would throw a kick, I'd hit him with a punch, and they would just keep like eventually that can wear on you. Like it's your psyche, like
mentally. When you hit, I always say that when you hit somebody, that's the same with a joke. When I'm going to do my allowance joke, I know that's one of my killer jokes, right. And it gets chuckles. That's like hitting a guy in the face and he doesn't go down.
Right.
You're like, this is going to be a long set.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
okay.
This is going to be a very long set.
I mean, I've kicked. I remember one of the fights. I was notorious for my low kicks. And I hit this guy with my low kick, and I felt like my leg kind of bounced off a little bit. And I was like, I said, well, I hope he just had a really weird like position in his leg. And then thank God the second I kept, and it's all about continuity.
Yeah, tell me about the continuity
of your mind.
The
first round, I mean, this one particular guy, I think I lost the first round because he was jabbing. He was like, he was push kicking me away, and I was trying to get at him. The only thing I was chasing him down. He was 6'2". And I'm 5'9". I was chasing him around the ring. He was like, you know what I mean?
He's
and,
trying to keep you away. Yeah, he doesn't want you to close
the distance.
I'm trying
to get in. And I'm a counter fighter. So I'm trying to get in. And he's, I'm kicking. I hit him with a couple things. And he's smiling. It's just. And he hit me with a couple good hands. I said, fuck, this guy can drop me with the right hand. So, now I got a little more of it, But I kept sticking to it. And it was like, it's like that moment in Rocky. Right when he hits Drago and he hits him in the rib, and all of a sudden Drago, hears him.
Yeah.
You hear that wince, and I caught him with a low kick, a front leg low like rib kick, floating rib kick, and I just kind of shuttled in. And I kicked him, and I saw him duck down. And I heard that, and I went, that was it. And then the second that happened, the beginning of the second round, I destroyed him the second round.
But how do you keep the continuity mental wise?
You don't give up. You don't say it's not working. You never say it's not
what
working.
What do you say? Is there a voice in your head?
Like, stick to your game plan, man.
Are you talking to yourself in your head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what my, because I'm not a fighter. I never like train. I always wonder when I watch like UFC, like, are you like, you're in there, like, this guy's professional, like, just at your level, like, is your game plan more defensive or offensive?
Well, it depends. Like, the guys, like,
I feel like to think of both would be tough to think of both.
This, a lot of times, fighters are either they're attackers or they're counterfighters. Like, you know, like, I've been in fights with guys who are counterfighters, and it's like we're dancing around for like 10 seconds.
Oh, because you're both on the defensive, waiting for
just throwing a feint or something. But, you know, so it depends. But, like, there's moments in a fight, I fought one guy. This was in the amateur stuff, like, you know, you were in headgear. But I fought this one guy where I'm not going to throw up another punch. Because every time I threw a punch, this guy would counter with a back kick. Or, you know, this guy just had a move that he was just always, like, so I said, I'm only going to throw kicks. That's it. I'm not going to throw any more right hands. I may throw a left hook if I could sneak it in or a jab, but I'm not going to throw my power, because he's going to nail me. He's timing it. Like, he's figured it out. Like,
right.
you're in a poker game and you say, I raise, and somebody goes, I re-raise. You're like, fucker. You know what I mean? You know, they call your bluff, or they know. So you got
to
be careful.
Just switch your game. That's like that TJ Dillashaw fight when he went to the corner and his manager's like, you're telegraphing your kicks. Like, you're setting them up. Stop setting them up.
Yeah.
And he listened to him, then he just threw a kick and knocked Corey Garbrandt right in the head, and you're like,
and that fight you saw on Facebook, my trainer says, okay, don't do any high kicks until the second round, just take his low and let's get his hands down, and you'll knock him out with a high kick. The first 8 seconds I threw a high kick and hit him in the head. He came out and gave me a push kick and landed on my thigh, and the guy was a beast. He was like 6'4", 250 right. pounds, this guy, and he landed it, and I had his footprint black and blue on my thigh for like 2 weeks. That's how bad that kick landed. Yeah. Like, it hurt, but I didn't feel it at the time. But once he did that, once he put that out there, and I realized how his movement was, and he just had that lumbering, that moment, he just lumbered, and he reached down, and I threw a left hand, right hand, and then he had his hands up, and I just threw the high kick and hit him in the fucking head. He bounced off the rope. You know, so my chance is, thanks for not throwing any high kicks until the second round.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, like, even though for those people listening and we're talking about martial arts and comedy, we're not really talking about martial arts and comedy.
Right.
These are just physical manifestations of the mind. Everything happens in the mind. You hear how much Dougie's talking about visualization in your mind. I find that a lot of people, like Al Martin always says, the owner of the Broadway right. Comedy Club, when people are off the script, they're lost. How many people in life, that's the great part about sports, they teach you to change your game plan, alter your game plan, you know, yeah, be right. spontaneous.
Make adjustments right.
How many
on the fly.
People in life do you say, all right, I'll meet you tomorrow at 4 o'clock and whatever, and then you tell them where to meet, and they're like, I don't know where that is, and they're having a heart attack, so you know what I do? Where do you know? And then I send them to where you know, because your mind is incapable of realizing there's two different ways.
Right, right.
Like, that's why people should learn languages. If you learn more than one language, you learn that there's many different ways to communicate with people. And, and I think being a soccer player like you were, Dougie, or being a martial artist, a fighter, or playing basketball or doing anything like that is really physical communications.
It's no one, like I would say, there's an old expression, but we're going to wrap it up here.
An old expression, too. We're going to wrap it up here. Close your eyes. I'm trying to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Otto would say, out of the way. Here comes the half and half.
Yeah. I missed that.
I exaggerate to clarify.
But to know oneself is to know God. So, like, even as a fighter, you know what you can and can't do. You know, as a soccer player, you know what you can. As a comic, you know what you can and right. can't do. And so that also means you recognize what you can't do. You work on it, right? You're only as strong as your weakest link, right? You know, whatever. As a fighter, you're only as strong as your whatever your weakest defense is.
The same in golf. Like, you could have everything.
You learn
great,
most through failure.
You could be good at dry. Well, you do learn a lot through. It's not really failure.
Like, when it works, you're like, this is great.
I call it a learning curve. People don't realize.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Anyway, that's all we have time for on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Steve Marshall for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I'm at Don't Behave on Twitter. SteveMarshallComedy.com, at Don't Behave. And Joe, I do remember you're at Dangerfield's. Very Italian, am I correct? Asian guy. You're such a nice guy. Dougie, thank you so much
and
for having
Joe
me.
Joe Fernandez is joining us today.
Yes.
Thanks for coming in. And don't forget, guys, where can they find you?
JoeFernandez.net, and subscribe to my podcast, All in Our Heads, on iHeartRadio or Laughable.com.
Nice. There you go. Thanks for listening, guys. Follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Follow me at Instagram and on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. And join our fan page on Facebook. Go to Wake Up Late with Dougie Show on Podbean.com for all episodes going back to 2013. Thanks for listening. And don't forget, we're on Bubba Army Radio on Saturdays and Sundays from 4 to 6. See you here next week on Monday at the same spot. Take care.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. The beam of light hit the ground.